those who know me know I'm an advocate to testing the message, to make sure you're getting the pure word of God, to make sure you're not being misled by humans who have excellent communication skills, by somebody who's using deception or even charming you into believing a message. It is our responsibility to test the message. So I'm going to show you how, you once again, using the message to show us how to test the message. The name of this Order My Steps is Testing the Message. Now, the thing that cleanses us and separates us to be used by God is the Bible. And the Bible shows us that in John 17:17-21. It says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. This is Jesus talking to God the Father. And he's saying, this is what's going to separate us for his use and his only use. And that's his word, because his word is truth. It goes on to say, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself. In other words, he received that same truth, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not from them alone. Sorry, not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe, who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So this whole thing is showing that there's a very important part of this world and us receiving it in its purest form to keep us in the truth. It's the thing that truly sets us aside to be used by God. Now, we are never to ignore ministries, right? As ministries come in, it doesn't mean you go, oh, here they go preaching again. Okay? You may have gotten some good ones, may have gotten some bad ones, but that's not how we're supposed to deal with it. But there is a way we must check the ministries. You know what I mean? So when somebody comes ministering to us, we don't just get rid of them. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22, it says, do not quench the spirit. Now, what that means is don't stop the spirit from working. Don't slow the spirit down. You know what I mean? So we tend to reduce or get rid of what the spirit does for us by allowing our emotions, our intellect, you know, how we feel to get in the way of allowing the spirit to work. So that's why he says, do not despise prophecy. I know in this past year, we've heard a lot of people give false prophecy to where some people are listening to no prophecy. It's not what the Bible says. It lets you understand there are going to be bad prophecy. So know when it's bad and know how to check. And that's why he ends this with verse 21 with, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So in this, he's saying test everything. And the things that are good, cling on to. And the things that are bad, get away from. And this is why it's so important for us to test everything so I know the difference. Because I got to react much different to both. It's not just, oh, so I know from my own information. No, it's the things that are good, then I must hold to them tightly. Because they're going to be the things that protect me and guide me. But abstain from every form of evil. That means I got to get away from those. Because those are things that are going to harm me and mislead me. So I got to make sure I know the difference. So he makes clear, we are commanded not to believe every spirit, but to test them. When it says in 1 John 4:1-3, it says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Very clear. It says, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. So I can't just go in there and just say, amen. I don't care what credentials they have. I don't care how much I like them. He says, do not believe them. So I receive that message, right? But then I test them. This is because, why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And then he gives us our protection. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. Now that in itself could be confusing if a person doesn't understand what that means. That acknowledges that Jesus has come in the flesh. The acknowledgement part is they are in agreement with that concept of Jesus coming in the flesh. Now, Jesus coming in the flesh is so important, and we're going to break down what that means. But he makes very clear, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. Now, the significance of Jesus coming in the flesh, because you have some to say he came as some spirit only. Some saying, you know, he's not God. Okay. And just the whole concept of what the Bible says, when you eliminate any part of how he came in the flesh, that he came in the flesh, that's what he's saying is the Antichrist. And breaking it down, we know that Jesus is the Word in the flesh. We've seen that in John 1. It shows us John 1, 1 to 2 and John 1, 14. And it breaks that down for us. You know, me in the beginning was Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it shows that he was made flesh. So it shows us that. Okay. And then that leads us to understanding that the rest of the Word was based on him because he's called the Word. So we understand if they deny he is God, which is in the Word, then they're not acknowledging him. If they deny he exists on earth, existed on earth in any way, as the Word shows us, then they are not acknowledging him. And if they deny the Bible, especially the New Testament and any part of it, once again, they're not acknowledging him. Do you see how that works? Okay, so it's the basis of what Christ said. It's not going to be some newfangled Christ or some new age Christ or some non-existing Christ or some lower in power Christ, just because they may respect Christ. If it's not Christ in the way Christ said it, Antichrist. And that's how we know it. But we have to test that. We have to make sure. So the basis you'll have is your Word. Understand, when it comes to receiving the Word, we have a responsibility. One group showed that responsibility very well. Acts 17, verse 11 says, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians." Why? It says, "For they," watch this, "received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." Breaking it down, they completely received the message. Now, when it says received the message with great eagerness, today we are so distracted, and either while we're there or we're distracted by things that are not around us and whatever it may be, that we may miss a sermon. When I say miss a sermon, you could be there and still miss a sermon, not realizing this is my life. I can't afford to miss this. So that's where you're, you know what? I don't want anything else getting in my way. I have to receive this message. That's that great eagerness. I got to get this message. He's not saying because it's a great message. He's saying, because if it's from God, I got to make sure I'm getting it because this is part of my life. And then once you get what you have, and this means you got to take notes, you got to get an understanding of it. He says, examine the scriptures. How often? Every day, to see if what Paul said was true. I don't think there's a bigger star out there than Paul at that time in the religious community. For them to get Paul and then to say, you know, wow. And they could have said, well, Paul said it and just ended it. But no. They checked scripture to make sure it was in line. So they checked the Bible daily to make sure the message is correct. That's a common practice. Receive the message, then check it. Very important. Don't just say. So let's see how we then receive. We already know how to receive. You know, you sit and you receive and take it in. How do we check it? So here are the steps to check the message. Very important. First of all, checking how the message was given is very important. How? You may say, wait a minute, are you serious, Pastor? Well, when I say how, I don't mean, you know, did he do it in a soft voice? Did he do it in yelling? I don't mean that type of delivery. I'm talking about the things that are used to present the message. Were they deceptive? Were they other stories? Were they keeping your attention another way? Were they full of fluff? Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 2. It says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have, watch this, renounced secret and shameful ways. That's the first thing. Now, secret and shameful ways means you have some out there that don't minister using some sneaky ways that they should be ashamed of in order to lure you in. They're treating you as if this was some sort of advertisement. They're trying to sell you something that they know is garbage. So they're saying, nope, that doesn't exist. You'll never see that. So if any of that exists, that message is going to be corrupt. Secondly, we do not use deception. Remember, every Christian is supposed to be shrewd, but not deceptive. The difference being, shrewdness is never lying, while deception is nothing but lies. You understand that? So shrewdness is where I can minister to you without first coming out and saying, hey, I'm ministering to you, without you even realize you were being ministered, but I never lie. Deception is blatantly telling you, you know what? I'm not going to minister to you. There's not going to be a ministry at all. And then I do it anyway. That was a lie. You get this? Okay. So there's no deception used. And nor do we distort the word of God. In other words, you won't hear me taking the word to make it fit you. So those three things are very, very important. You understand that? I'm not using these secret things to get your attention. I'm not lying to you. And I'm not going to distort this Bible. And the way you'll know it is you'll look in the Bible and go, he just said this, but the Bible really says this. In fact, he makes it very plain, on the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly. He's just giving you what the word says. We commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So to a teacher as myself, I'm basically just giving you what God says. No matter how you feel about it, all I have to say is I just told you what God said. And then I move on. Right? And that's all you want is the word plainly. So now you can go back to the word and plain. But when they start giving you these secret codes and, you know, this letter shaped like this and this because it was written around this way, it's going to look like this. Please be careful. Okay, so we have to check how the message was given, the substance of it. Secondly, we have to make sure the information is of what's called sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Matthew 4, 5 through 7, this is, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. So this is Satan, once again, during the time he's tempting Jesus, and now he takes him up to the highest temple, and he starts off saying, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Now, if we stop there, and we know in Psalms, that is true, what he just said. But this is where we have to get, because some will go, that scripture, yep, it's in the Bible, let me move to the next one. Sound doctrine. It's things in which I'm following what God says with the boundaries of what other scripture says. You get where it's going. It's not never a contradiction. It is do what this says, and here's the boundaries to that. They're going to complement each other. They're going to work with each other, and that's how the Bible works. And that's why Jesus' response answer, where he said in verse 7, Jesus answered him, it is also written. Powerful. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. So he's basically saying, yep, if I were to fall, the angel would save me, but I'm not supposed to go up there and say, let me see if what God said was true. You see right there? See, prosperity ministers used to love to use the ones about prosperity, but they'd never use the ones about testing God or grateful giver or being content. They didn't use any of that. And this is why we have to make sure ours is sound. So when we're receiving this message, I'm now looking for other things on that same topic. You see how that works? And this is why I got to be growing in the word, because at times I'm not going to realize it, but somebody may give a sermon and I'll go, wait a minute, there was a verse that had something that connected to this that I need to check, and I understand that, so I check it, but it must be based on sound doctrine. Titus 2 tells us that also, where it says we must teach what is in accordance with sound doctrine. That's Titus 2:1. If you get a chance, look it up. Number three, no matter how good it may sound, make sure it is all in the Bible and trust the Bible only. People give statements. I've heard wordings. I heard things. I mean, we went over one time the Serenity Prayer, which is a very nice prayer and all that, but it's not in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying right or wrong. It may be based on the Bible. I'd be extra cautious when somebody says, well, that's not in the Bible. Somebody wrote that. Okay, that's great, but don't use it for me to live by. And I think it's a pretty solid one because it does kind of follow the word of God for the most part. But if, just don't be twisted in thinking, hey, what psalm is that in? Because it's not. But when you look at 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, it says, now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying. Watch this. Do not go beyond what is written. Do not go beyond what is written. So now that going beyond what is written is so important for us to recognize, because what tends to happen is we'll read the Bible. So that part's there. And the and is something else was added to it. And I don't care if it's some great man that you think it is. I hear people, you know, sometimes say, oh, well, C.S. Lewis said or Billy Graham said, and that's all great and all. And they might have been teachers that were great and all that to some. But the point of it is, they're extra additive unless it's just enhancing the understanding of what the words is. That's one thing. But when they start adding to what the words is, that's dangerous. So when he says, do not go beyond what is written, I don't want some quote from this other people. I just want what God says. And he makes very clear, then you will not take pride in one man over against another. People sometimes go out to make a name for themselves instead of just presenting this pure, very sacred, important word of God. It's not for me to grow in me, for you to be in awe of me. It's not that at all. It's always meant for us to display his word, his only word. Now, you got to understand, in this same mind of not going beyond what is written, that's why you got to know when something is pure teaching or what's called strange teaching. You can't get caught up on those outside, those things outside the Bible. All right. You can't allow those things to come in. And there's a lot of that. And they get Christians sometimes with conspiracy and stuff like that. And the stuff may be true, but then God shows us, I'm nothing I can do about it. Nothing I can do about it. Hebrews 13:9 shows, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. I hear people bring stuff back to me and it's interesting. You know what I mean? If you like that type of stuff, and that's great, but they want to start living by it. You know, somebody being part of this secret group and now we can't listen and they got to follow this and you got to follow this. And, you know, yeah, people talk about people being lizard people and you know what I mean? What's dangerous about it is they're getting it from other sources and other things and they're almost making it equal in God's word. He makes very clear, it is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial foods, which are of no value to those who eat them. And what he's showing us in here is because especially during that time, there were some teachings coming about ceremonial food that some Christians were still doing. Had no business doing, but they were still doing it. And they were carried away by these strange teachings. And he's saying the same thing to us. I don't care how great it sounds, when it's not in God's word, it's considered strange. And we must recognize that. If I don't recognize that, that's where you start seeing people have this some Bible and some of this other junk out there. And that's exactly what it is, other junk that we allow ourselves to get caught up in. We are not to be carried away by that stuff. Number four, we make sure the word is being explained, not altered. Explained, not altered. 2 Peter 3:15-16 says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote with the wisdom God gave him. So showing Paul did give wisdom and he was meant to write this word. And it went on to say in verse 16, he writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. Now watch this. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand. Now, that's just a given. There are going to be some messages that are easier to understand than others. Now, sometimes in our laziness, we just want the easy to understand messages. In fact, there are those who literally ask people, just give me easy to understand messages. The danger with that is then I won't give you all the messages if you ask me that. In responsibility, I'll take the easier to understand messages. And the hard to understand messages, I want to make sure I'm getting the message. And even more so, what tends to happen is people will try to make all the messages easier to understand and sometimes to a fault. That's why it said, which ignorant and unstable people distort. So in other words, they'll take this word and they'll remove things. And hoping that'll make it easier for you to understand, it's really not. What it's doing is getting rid of the hard parts. Does that make sense? You know, if you didn't like division and we had this long equation to do and it had division in it, I just got rid of division and you did everything else in it. Did you get the right answer? Well, absolutely not, because division was part of that equation. Well, we do the exact same thing when we read what this word says and that part that's hard to understand, I go ignore that and just read this. There you go. That's distorting of the word. And it says, as they do other scripture to their own destruction. We have no business distorting this word of God. And those who do it are going to pay for it. So you got to make sure the word is being explained, not altered. This is why I'm skeptical of some books that are put out there, because the books will say it in such a nice, soft way. Well, God really said this. And then when you go read the scripture they were referring to, you're like, That's not exactly what that's saying there. You do know that. You understand that. I remember a long time ago, a person gave me a message where he said, if you ever go to church and you're confused, then it's not that church is wrong because he's not the author of confusion. But when I went to 1 Corinthians 14 and I understand and I saw that word and I understand what he was talking about, and God's not the author of disorder, he wasn't talking about, hey, if you're confused, then it's not of God. No, it's saying God doesn't allow his services and the things that he does to be done in a disorderly way. Read it yourself, 1 Corinthians 14. And if you understand that, that's why it gives us on how, you know, tongues work in church and how prophecy work in church and how when to start, when to stop, all that stuff. There's an orderly way of doing it. But if I didn't know any better, I allow this person to use the word to make me feel like the victim. And hey, if I'm confused, then it must be this church's fault, because God's not the author of confusion. You see how I did that? I took the word, I distorted it to fit my situation. Very wrong. Number five, we have to make sure what has been taught is accurate. Then we have to test ourselves to make sure we are living it. Okay? So after we check that the word is on point, then we got to check us to make sure we're on point. This is very necessary also, because we could be the problem. It shows in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he says, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Don't you realize that Christ is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? Now, some want a point by point, how do we do this test? Well, that's what the Bible does. In the faith means everything I'm doing, I can check my life, and my life falls in line with what the word says. That's the test. Plain and simple. Keith, how did you handle that situation? How are you dealing in your marriage? How are you dealing with your finances? Well, the Bible says this, so I'm doing it this way. And the Bible says it. See, that's the faith. Where you fail the faith is where, Keith, how did you deal with your finances? Well, I thought, is that in the Bible? I don't know. Well, how are you raising your kids? Well, I'm doing it this way. Is that in the Bible? I don't know. See, now I'm failing it because I'm doing it not based on the faith, but by some other means, because I'm clearly saying, I don't know. But I'm still doing it. And we're supposed to live by faith. So how am I living by faith when I don't know the faith? Y'all catch me? Hopefully you get this. Very important. All right? People tend to claim the faith while not living in the faith. That's a problem. But it's something that we are supposed to be responsible for doing. Examine yourselves. So I gotta check me. This is something we should commonly do. And here's the problem. I mean, here's the good thing about this is as we do this process, and this should be a, you know, daily to weekly process of us examining ourselves, it makes us be students of the word to make sure what the instruction we're getting that we're supposed to live by is correct. Not just some book that I say I read, you know, the whole book every year. Under that same thing, Galatians 6, 3 through 5 also shows us. It says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Now think about what that verse says. If I think I'm something, even something as most importantly as a Christian, I think I'm a Christian, right? And if I'm not, that's where that group's going to come. And they're either going to go, Lord, Lord, and he's going to go, I never knew you. That's devastating. Do you understand that? Why? Because they're living in deception. A lot of people are deceiving themselves because they didn't test themselves. That's why in verse 4 it says, each one should test his own actions. Test what you're doing. Then he could take pride in himself. And this is not talking about you based on you, but you based on Christ, without comparing himself to somebody else. See, me being still me is going to be compared to somebody else. I might not be doing what that person's doing, but I'm doing it better than these other people. Now, what he asked you. The pride that I have, which is not, you know, pride in itself is not good. But so this thing he's talking about, as he uses the term pride in here, is that I could feel good that I'm following Christ. That's what I want to see. Right? I could feel good that I'm doing what Christ says. And it made clear in verse 5, for each one should carry his own load. I'm responsible for my life. I'm responsible for the things that I do, so I better live responsibly. But in order for me to do that, I got to check me based on the pure word. So the word better be pure. See how this combination breaks itself down and gives me each step, and I have to follow it. So I'm examining the word. I'm showing and making sure I get it. Let's break these down real quick. Check, we have to check the message that is given, how it's given, okay? Making sure that they're giving it to us in a way that they're just giving us the word and explaining what they gave to us. Making sure it's of sound doctrine, that they're not giving a scripture only and not giving us all the scripture that pertains to it, that I'm not missing scriptures that keeps it within a certain boundary. No matter how good it sounds, make sure that it's in the Bible and only the Bible, not from some man, some expert that you have high respect for. It better be, it only be from the Bible. And we have to make sure the word is being explained, which is fine and very important, but not altered. I'm not dumbing it down, which means I'm removing things that you really need in it. And after making sure what has been taught is accurate, then we got to test ourselves against the word to make sure we are being tested and that we are in line with that word. So when it comes down to it, we have full access to knowledge and understanding as long as it all is from Christ. Look what he says in Colossians 2, 2 through 4. He says, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. You see this prayer that he's having. Encouraged in heart, which is your purpose, and united in love, which is God. United in love. See, we'd like to unite ourselves in what we feel and what we like and in our commonalities instead of being united in God. And the encouragement we want to get is usually based off of how we feel, that's the flesh, instead of off of what God, which should be our purpose, who he is. And he goes on, so in this encouragement, so that they may have, watch this, the full riches of complete understanding. The full riches of complete understanding. This takes growth. This takes time. This takes you dedicating your time to gaining and understanding the word. It says, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. See, this understanding is part of our relationship. In order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. The more I know the word and gain and understand the word, the more I grow in my relationship with Christ. And it makes clear, the more I know Christ, watch this, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When I come into that strong relationship with Christ, then I have full access to full understanding and wisdom. And he makes this clear for this huge protection we need. He says, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by, watch this, fine sounding arguments. Now that fine sounding arguments is necessary because the wisdom and knowledge, when I have this relationship with Christ, will be 100% by faith. But the fine sounding is based on my senses, once again, by that sight or my hearing. And a lot of times when my flesh comes in, if somebody gives me a nice sounding argument, I'll go, oh, I never thought of it that way. And then I'm misled and more misled, as Satan did with Eve. Instead of having that full access to wisdom and knowledge and do what Jesus did and go, no, it's written. We have this ability and we have this responsibility because this is our lives. Don't play with this. Make sure you grasp and you understand this. We must check this word that is provided to us and for us. Let us take that serious and let us test the message. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you for your word and help us to check this word to make sure everything we're given is in line with you, that we are doing this daily, that we're growing and gaining understanding in your word, that we may have access to your son, dear Lord, complete access to have complete wisdom and complete understanding. Thank you so much for the offer that you give us. Help us to stop allowing ourselves from being so distracted by other things in the world and to only be led and pulled by you, dear God. We thank you for all that you continue to do for us and all that you continue to do and all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we all say, amen.